Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava. Text number 9. Tasmad yuktendriya gramo.
Tasmad yuktendriya gramo.
Yukta chitta idam jagat.
Yukta chitta idam jagat.
Atmanikshasva vitatam.
Atmanikshasva vitatam.
Atmanam mayadishware.
Atmanam mayadishware.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Yukta.
Yukta.
Having brought under control.
Having brought under control.
Indriya grama.
Indriya grama.
All the senses.
All the
yukta.
Yukta.
Also subduing.
Also subduing.
Chitta.
Chitta.
Your mind.
Your mind.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Jagat.
Jagat.
World.
World.
Atmani.
Atmani.
Within the individual soul.
Within the individual soul.
Ikshasva.
Ikshasva.
You should see.
You should see.
Vitatam.
Vitatam.
Spread out.
Spread out.
As the substance of this material enjoyment.
As the substance of material
enjoyment. Atmanam.
Atmanam.
And that individual soul.
And that individual soul.
Mayi.
Mayi.
In me.
In me.
Adhishware.
Adhishware.
The Supreme Controller.
The Supreme Controller.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, bringing all your senses under control and thus subduing the mind, you should see the entire world as situated within the self, who is expanded everywhere, and you should also see this individual self within me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation responsibly. Therefore.
Therefore.
Bringing all of your senses under control,
bringing all of your senses under control,
and thus subduing the mind,
and thus subduing the mind,
you should see the entire world,
you should see the entire world,
as situated within the self,
as situated within the self,
who is expanded everywhere,
who is expanded everywhere,
and you should also see the individual self,
and you should also see the individual self,
within me.
Within me.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Purport. The word vitatam, or widely expanded, implies that the individual jiva, soul, is present throughout the material universe. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita 2.24, Lord Krishna states, Nitya Sarva Gata. The individual soul is eternal and is expanded everywhere throughout the material and spiritual worlds. This does not mean, however, that each individual soul is all-pervading, but that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has expanded his marginal potency everywhere. Thus, one should not blindly conclude that a minute living entity is all-pervading. Rather, one should understand that God is great and expands his personal energy everywhere. In this verse, Atmanikshasva Vitatam means that this material world is created to facilitate the sense gratification of the conditioned souls who are trying to enjoy without Krishna, their actual master. The living entities are busily trying to exploit the external energy of the Lord, but their jurisdiction over the material world is illusory. Both the material nature and the conditioned living being are energies of the Lord and thus exist within the personality of Godhead, and are under his supreme control. The individual living entity exists for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead and is the Lord's eternal servant. As soon as the senses become absorbed in material gratification, they lose their power to experience the absolute truth. The actual goal of sense activity is satisfaction of Vishnu. The Lord and all the senses can experience infinite spiritual pleasure by perceiving and serving the Lord in his personal feature. Those who adopt the impersonal conception of God, however, try to stop all sense activity. But because the senses cannot remain permanently inactive, they naturally return to activities in the realm of material illusion. If one engages the senses in the service of the personality of Godhead, then one enjoys unlimited pleasure, both seeing the transcendental beauty of the Lord's form. Upon seeing the transcendental beauty of the Lord's form. But unless one qualifies himself by pure loving devotion to Krishna, the Lord does not award him this exalted experience. Therefore, every conditioned soul should end his unnecessary separation from the personality of Godhead by rejoining the Lord's blissful company. Lord Krishna personally comes down to reopen the blind eyes of the conditioned souls, and thus the Lord is personally teaching Uddhava so that sincere souls in the future might take advantage of his instructions. Indeed, hundreds of millions of people even now derive spiritual enlightenment from Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Namagyan, Timaranda Shya, Gananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam Vancha Kaupatu Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thousands of years, people have tried to understand the great questions of philosophy. So one of the great questions of philosophy is, why are we here in this material world? Most philosophies cannot give a complete and proper answer. Because one has to receive knowledge through the descending process of knowledge. As Prabhupada explains, there is the ascending process of receiving knowledge and the descending process. The ascending process means by your own material faculties you try to understand the absolute truth, which means by your mind and your intelligence and your senses you try to understand that God is a blue cowherd boy. So good luck. You know, you think and think and think and think and think. For thousands of years, as a great jnani, you sit there in meditation for thousands of years trying to understand what is the absolute truth. It must be a light. It is an all-pervading light. It is an energy which pervades everything, which is super consciousness. No, it is beyond that. It is something higher. It must be a person. What sort of person is it? Like that. He must be yellow. And like that. You can speculate on and on and on and on, but you will not find the absolute truth. How will you come to the conclusion that God is just a cowherd boy? If you go to Goloka Vrindavan right now, what is Krishna doing? Time is, if we say, I don't know what the time is in Goloka Vrindavan. But the time now is 8:05. So what is Krishna doing at 8:05 in Ashtakaliya Leela in the spiritual world? What's that? Yeah, he's just finishing breakfast. Around about that time, just finishing breakfast. And it's a good breakfast. You read in Govinda Leela Amrita what he has for breakfast. big breakfast. Pots and pots and pots and pots and pots. And Radharani is the head cook, and many other devotees also cook. And then, all the gopis, when the offering is finished, because they offer all the bhoga to Narayan, and then so Krishna can take prasad. So then they offer all the, and then they bring all the pots in, all the gopis, they make all the pots in beautiful patterns all around the edge of the dining hall, like that. And there's a table, and on the table there are many different drinks and different, how do you say, condiments, like that, different things that Krishna can add to his meal. And then the devotees begin to serve Krishna, Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, and then they also ask Radharani to serve Krishna. And Krishna sits there with all of his friends and he begins to take his prasad. And all of his friends are glorifying the prasadam so much. Sitting next to him is one of his friends called Madhu Mangala. And Madhu Mangala is saying, this is like nectar. This is the most wonderful prasad that I've ever tasted in existence. Whoever cooked this prasad, and the person who cooked this prasad is Radharani, and she's serving at that time right in front of Krishna. She feels very uncomfortable that she's serving Krishna, and Krishna's trying to not, you know, he's trying to be disinterested that Radharani's serving him. And Radharani's feeling very uncomfortable that she has to be serving him in front of her superiors at that. And Madhu Mangala is saying, this is the best prasadam I've ever tasted. This cook, the person who has cooked this prasad, she must be the goddess of fortune herself. She must be the most topmost living entity within existence. No one can compare to her like that. And Krishna says, just take prasadam. So no, I don't want to hear all of your gibberish. You just eat. I don't want to hear like that. So it's very, these are all the rustles that go on in the spiritual world while Krishna is taking prasad. A little bit different to what goes on in the material world. You know, material world cannot compare to the pastimes in the spiritual world. The pastimes in the spiritual world are full of rasa, like that. So how would you ever come to this conclusion? By speculation. How could you just speculate for thousands of years as a jnani and try to work out this is what God has for breakfast, this is what God does for breakfast? Just like I told the pastime a few months ago, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was speaking to Cardinal Sin in the Philippines, and he said to Cardinal Sin, he said, what does God do in the kingdom of God? And Cardinal Sin, he said that God sits on a golden throne. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, does he ever get off the throne? And Cardinal Sin said, I would think so, but I do not know. Like that. So who knows? No one knows. So how are you going to speculate? How are you going to use your mind, your intelligence, your senses to understand what God does for breakfast? Most people never even think that God has breakfast. Most people think that God is impersonal. He's just an energy, he's a light. He's just a light. So he just eats light. And what's for breakfast? Brahman. We had that yesterday. Tastes good, doesn't it? Yeah, that's great. Can I have a little sugar on that? No, it's Brahman. It's undifferentiated light. It's just Brahman. Brahman means no difference. It's just one. But we had that yesterday. But you are one. So therefore you should just eat one. But what about two? No. One. Eka. That is your prasad. Be happy. I can't be happy. I want some samosas. No. So therefore that is life in the Brahma Jyoti. So Prabhupada says, you might go there to the Brahma Jyoti, but you will come back. Why will you come back? Because you're attached to samosas. So you have to come back. Just imagine life without samosas. Just imagine life without gulab jamuns. Not possible. Just like, you know, I'm a fairly sense controlled person, like that. Not very sense controlled because I'm not very elevated, but fairly sense, some sense control is there. But when I see gulab jamuns, I have no sense control whatsoever. The other night I hadn't had gulab jamun for a few months, and the other night I walked past And there was one plate, and after the 9 o'clock offering, just sitting out there on the bench, after Bhaktivai Bhava came and brought the mridanga back to the temple and saw the deities, and then I went back. I was walking out, and there was a plate sitting there on the bench, and it had a gulab jamun on it, and some other prasad. So I walked past, and I just went, no control. No control. There was not even any rationality. Right? I didn't even think, oh, this is someone else's plate. I'm in a public place. You know, people are going to judge me. Like that. No thought. Not even a thought. Just pure spontaneity. Like that. Just, you know, just like Arjuna, Dronacharya said to Arjuna, what do you see? He said, I only see the eye of the bird. So when there's gulab jamun, then I'm useless. If you want to control me, there's an open secret. If you want to control me, then just give me gulabs. I'll do whatever you want. I'll become your unconditional servant. Lifetime after lifetime. Like that. So, what would you prefer? Krishna's prasadam, the variety of Krishna's prasadam, or would you prefer the Brahma Jyoti? Where there's no difference. There's no difference, there's no variety. That's why the soul cannot be satisfied in the Brahma Jyoti. How can the soul be satisfied? Because the soul needs variety. Just like we also told recently that Prabhupada in 1977, then near the end of his Leela in this world, and he was in Vrindavan, and he was staying in his bed practically in Vrindavan. He could not really move around, and he was practically stopped eating. Prabhupada practically stopped eating for the last 6 months. He didn't eat very much at all. And then Bhakti Charuswami became his cook, and Bhakti Charuswami cooked Prabhupada some khichdi, but it's very bland, because the kaviraj, the doctor said that Prabhupada should not eat anything rich or spicy or anything. So then they brought it to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada had a little teaspoon of the khichdi, and it's very bland. And Prabhupada said, where is the spice? And Bhakti Charuswami said, oh, you're not supposed to have spice. And Prabhupada said, what is the use of eating? So this is the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is the soul enjoys variety. Why does the soul enjoy variety? Because the Supreme Soul, who we're created in the image of, enjoys variety. God is a person. God is sentient. Sentient means he has senses. God has desires. He has a desire for enjoyment. So therefore, it is described that the living entity is Ananda Mayo Vyasat. Ananda Mayo Vyasat, it means he's always looking for pleasure, bliss. Right? That is the nature of the soul. We want pleasure, we want bliss. Why? Because Krishna, whose image we are created in the, who we are created in the image of, Krishna desires bliss. That's why Krishna has expanded himself unlimitedly as so many living entities. That explains why we exist. Right? Because other philosophies, they've struggled with this for thousands of years to answer, why do we exist? And they cannot answer it. They cannot explain why are we here. Why do we exist? We exist for God's pleasure. That's the point. Otherwise, why would we be here? We're only here because Krishna wants to expand his enjoyment. So what is the best way to expand your enjoyment? Right? You gather a group of friends. Right? And then you can have some fun. Right? It's not so much fun doing things by yourself. Like that. Just like you can wash the dishes. Right? Hands up if you enjoy washing the dishes. Okay. There's always one square person in the audience. If you enjoy washing dishes, then that's good. That's good. But most of us don't enjoy those kind of activities. But you have a couple of friends, and then you begin to wash the pots together, then you can have a lot of fun, right? You're squirting each other with the water, right? And then you're splashing each other, throwing the bubbles on each other. Just like I used to have a job before I became a devotee in a fast food place. And me and the other boys there, we used to have a lot of fun with each other. Like one time we put one of the guy's bikes in the freezer. And then we poured water all over the spokes and it turned into ice. So when he got his bike and then he tried to leave work, it was frozen. Right? So that's what we used to do, we used to have fun. And then we used to get each other back all the time. So it was a lot of fun. They sacked us, they kicked us out of the job. Because we were having too much fun. But that's what life is about. Life is about pleasure. That is the purpose of the soul. Ananda mayo vyasat. Everyone is seeking after pleasure. No one wants to be dissatisfied. There's no such thing as a desire for dissatisfaction. Everyone wants satisfaction. And why is that? Because Krishna desires that. And we are made in the image of Krishna. So he is the supreme enjoyer. Right? And we are the minute enjoyers. So, these questions cannot be answered by mental speculation or by the ascending process of knowledge. You cannot understand the purpose of the soul's existence. You cannot understand the identity of God by an ascending process of knowledge. You need to receive this knowledge through the descending process, which means you have to receive it evam parampara praptam imam rajashiyo vidu. Krishna says you have to receive it through disciplic succession. Krishna speaks to us through disciplic succession. Right? That is the necessity of understanding transcendental knowledge. So there are requirements. Right? Because this knowledge is perfect. But in order to receive that perfect knowledge, there are requirements. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pari prasnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnana, jnaninas tatva dashina. You must receive it from a living guru. Right? You cannot understand this knowledge unless it is received through disciplic succession. Otherwise, how will you realize the knowledge? Now, you may receive it up to a point from an acharya who has passed away. Right? This is a certain line of thinking. Right? That Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. And that's true, right? But now there is philosophies going around that Prabhupada gave us everything and that is enough, right? It stops with Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the final acharya. And we must receive this knowledge only through Prabhupada, right? This is the philosophy which is going around like that. So this is not what Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches you must receive the knowledge from a living guru. Right? Because you may receive the knowledge. You may receive Prabhupada's books. Just like most of us join this movement from receiving Prabhupada's books. So you receive Prabhupada's books, right? And then you get transcendental knowledge. But then how to assimilate that knowledge? Right? It's not so easy to assimilate the knowledge without a guru, without a teacher. Right? This is like that in any educational system. Just like you go to university, right? You don't go to university and go to one of the lectures, right? And you go into the hall down at Melbourne University. And at Melbourne University, you go there to study philosophy and you go into the hall and someone just leaves a book down the front. Right? And they say, okay, just go and read the book. Right? 400 people turn up. And they say, just go and there's a big notice, please read this book. Or 400 books. Please read these books. Right? No. It's accepted that if you want to understand or assimilate the knowledge, then the knowledge can only be assimilated through a person. Right? Okay, yes, Prabhupada gave us everything, but how will you assimilate that knowledge? How will that enter into your heart? What if you have questions? Then what will you do? You have questions. I want to understand this further. Yes, I've read Prabhupada's purports, but Prabhupada's purports for people in Kali Yuga are not that easy to understand. Right? Yeah. And that's the whole point with this whole revolutionary thought that Prabhupada is the final acharya. Right? If Prabhupada was the final acharya, then Srila Prabhupada would have said, I am the final acharya. Right? Now find where Prabhupada says, I am the final acharya. Right? It's actually an insult to Prabhupada To say that Prabhupada could not create qualified followers to lead the rest of us, that's an insult to Prabhupada, right? Because what they do when people have this philosophy that Prabhupada is the final acharya, then the way they attack everyone is that they find people who are not, they try to find the faults in Prabhupada's followers, and with those faults, seeming faults which are within Prabhupada's followers, then they say, see, this person has this fault, this person has this fault, according to my vision, so therefore I have to reject them. Like that. So then the whole mentality just becomes a mentality of Vaishnava Aparad. Right? Whereas it's actually an insult to Prabhupada to think that Prabhupada could not create qualified people to lead us into the future after his demise. This is not the proper mentality. But it's it has become a prominent way of thinking in this day and age. And the Prabhupada is the final acharya, and if we just follow Prabhupada, then everything will become perfect. But this is not the means of assimilating knowledge. One must have a living guru, right? You must follow Prabhupada's followers, and in this way you will understand, right? Because they will clear the knowledge. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena. What does it mean? Right? It means that you must inquire. Right? There must be. Everyone's got inquiries. Right? Everyone wants to understand the knowledge more deeply. No? So to understand the knowledge more deeply, then this happens by you clear your doubts by asking questions. Like that. So this is the system. So in order to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one must follow this system. Otherwise you cannot follow. How will you understand God's identity? How will you understand your nature, the nature of the soul, right? The constitutional position of the soul? Then one must receive it through disciplic succession. So that requires certain qualifications, right? It requires qualification from the guru, but it requires qualification from the shishya, or the disciple. What is the disciple's qualification? He must be submissive. He must be humble. This is the principal qualification of being a devotee. You must develop humility. Because if one does not have humility, then one thinks that no one can tell me anything. Right? That is the nature of one who is proud. Right? No one can tell me anything. Right? And that is the problem with the conditioned soul. Everyone in the material world has this disease. Right? Hands up if you like being told things. Hands up if you like authority. Right? Hands up if you like being under control. Like that. Yeah, with the right person. Yeah, it's true. All of us accept authority to some degree. But you'll see generically within the material world, you'll see most of the conditioned souls don't like authority. They feel very uncomfortable being told what to do. Like that. You see, all of us have that problem. Like that. So that is the nature of the conditioned soul. And as long as you have that problem, then how will you advance in spiritual life? The nature of the most elevated personalities is they are completely submissive to their superiors. You'll see that the greatest personalities, just like Prabhupada as an example, right, who is like a Paramahamsa, Vaishnava, right, an Amala Bhakta, a pure devotee of Krishna, what is his qualification? His qualification is that he is completely submissive to his guru. Right? Prabhupada never claimed that any of the success that he had was his doing. Even though he was obviously such a qualified personality. Right? How much qualified? He was unlimitedly qualified. Right? All good qualities were within his possession. Such a talented personality on every level. But he didn't claim that it was his own doing. He had submission or adherence to his superior. Right? And that is the qualification of making advancement in spiritual life. And that's why it's very difficult for people to accept Krishna within the age of Kali. People find it very difficult to become a devotee and to accept, because it means that you have to become submissive. Right? And our level of submission is very challenging. Because not only do we speak of submission to God, God is a blue cowherd boy. You know, that's not easy for the average person on the street to accept. You know, my dear sir, please take this book. You know, please accept the knowledge within this book. Do you understand that God is a blue cowherd boy? Right, that is very challenging. Just like I was giving the Sunday feast lecture at the farm in January, and we had a number of new guests who came along, and one man, many people were there, but within about 5 minutes of me beginning the lecture, then, you know, sometimes, you know, for some reason, either Krishna prompts you or your mind just takes you in a particular direction while you're giving a lecture. And then in about 5 minutes of giving the lecture, I was saying that there's civilization on the sun. And then I began to think to myself, why am I saying this? They're very challenging, like that. But then, you know, I balanced the point out, like that. And my brother Christian, he said to me afterwards, he said, I can't believe you said that so early in the lecture. But I balanced the lecture out, and it turned out nicely. I mean, relatively okay. Meaning that I tried to balance it in the end. I tried to bring it back to like a balanced kind of perspective, and it seemed that it worked okay. So one man who was a lawyer, then he came back to the Sunday feast we just had a couple of weeks ago, after 2 months. And after I'd said that statement that Krishna was the civilization on the sun and so forth, then he was obviously finding that very challenging within the lecture. He found that to be a very challenging statement. And he was questioning during, we had like a discussion during the lecture. And then he came back after 2 months and, you know, he's a lawyer. He's a very kind of, he said he was an atheist 2 months ago. And he said that, you know, I don't believe in God and all those things. What to speak of the civilization on the sun and, you know, those kind of things. So he's very like, you know, very strong-minded person, very confident person, very intelligent person. And then he told me, he came back a couple of weeks ago and he said, you know, I was surfing this morning, because he has a holiday house at Aries Inlet. And he said, I was surfing this morning, and as I was surfing out, the sun was coming up. And he said, I was looking at the sun, and then he goes, actually, there could be a civilization on the sun. Right? So how would you have ever come up with that by your own senses, your own mind, and your own intelligence? How would you ever come up with that? Right? How would you ever speculate that there's a civilization on the sun? No one can prove it. Right? By empirical science, we can't prove it. But by disciplic succession, by receiving knowledge in disciplic succession, then we can understand things which are beyond our sense perception. And this is how we understand things. Now, in order to receive this knowledge and accept it, it requires, as Maharaj said yesterday, it requires purification. Now, with that lawyer, I think the reason why he was able to accept that was because he loves the prasadam, right? And when he came a couple of Sundays ago, when he came back again the second time, he actually rang up and left a message on the phone, and then I rang him back, and he said, you know, is it okay if I come for the feast? And I said, yeah, it's okay. And then I said, are you the lawyer? Because I recognised his voice. And then he was like impressed that I remembered him. He goes, yes, I'm the lawyer. He goes, do you remember my name? Like that. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, unfortunately. But he goes, yeah, my name is Richard, like that. So, but the point is that he became purified, because when he came back to the farm the next time, as soon as I saw him, I folded my hands, I said, Hare Krishna, like that. And he folded his hands, because he kind of just responded like spontaneously, he folded his hands and said, Hare Krishna, like that. So this is a person who says he's an atheist 2 months ago, right? And now he's getting a taste for chanting the holy name. Right, and through prasadam, because he loved the prasadam, you know, he ate a lot, you know, big plate. You know, just loved it. You know, he's eating the curd, and he's saying, what's this? You know, and just, do you want a bit more? Yeah, I'll have a bit more. Had the curd, and then had the halva, right, and just like, you know, loved the prasadam. You could see it purified the consciousness. With purification of consciousness, and then with us preaching boldly, according to disciplic succession, then this knowledge can infiltrate people's hearts, and then they can have a turn in their consciousness and they can begin to accept. So on the last Sunday feast we had at the farm, the Madhava Maharaj came down. Right? So Madhava Maharaj came down and he got out of the car and everyone was standing there, and he got out of the car and he was holding his altar with his Krishna Balaram Shilas. And he got out of the car and he said, you know, where do I put the Shilas? So we went into the temple room and we put the table in front of the altar and we put the Shilas there. And then he said, we should circumambulate. So I said, okay. Like that. So we said to everyone, all the guests that were there, we said, we have very special Shilas here today. We have very special from sacred India. We have from the most sacred mountain in India. We have some of those sacred stones here. and very auspicious to do a parikrama or to circumambulate them. It's like a pilgrimage. So everyone kind of got enthused. So we had kirtan, we had aarti, we had kirtan, and after aarti and kirtan, we all went out, we went around the temple three times. Right? Not all the guests are going along, we're having a big harinam, kirtan, everyone's like clapping and chanting, and some of them are chanting and, you know, going around, and getting purified, and getting a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. And then my brother brought, he's brought a goat, which we have on the farm, which we've called Gora Hari. So, the goat turns up in the middle of the kirtan. So we kept doing a harinam around the temple, and the goat was in the middle of the harinam. He's a devotee, obviously. Like Veda Priya said, you know, animals don't turn up on the farm unless they have some connection previously. Otherwise, so many animals could turn up on the farm, but if they turn up on the farm, it means they're devotees from previously. So Gaura Hari is in the middle of the kirtan, jumping around, dancing, and we're going around, right? And we had to tie Bhima up, because Bhima's, you know, he's a Rhodesian redback, like he's a huge dog. So we had to tie him up because, you know, he, sometimes people get a little bit frightened of him. But every time we went around, we went past Bhima every time, and Bhima was wagging his tail. He was like, you know, you can see he was getting into the kirtan. Right? And the goat's getting into the kirtan, and we're all getting into the kirtan. So we go around the temple three times, then we go back into the temple, and then Maro sits down and gives his lecture. Right? And you can see people are getting affected by this. And then Maro spoke on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, very high class. I mean, you know, the class was for people who'd been around for a long time. No. It was not like a simple introductory Sunday feast lecture. It was like he was talking about Mahaprabhu's moods and ecstasies and, you know, Nityananda Prabhu's position and, you know, it was exalted topic. You know, but the lawyer's sitting there and he's nodding his head and he's like, you know, because he could see that Maharaj was enthusiastic, right? When Prabhupada asked Tripurari Swami, he asked Tripurari, he said, please travel around and teach all the other devotees how to distribute books, because he was one of the biggest book distributors when Prabhupada was on the planet. So Tripurari Swami went around and then he said to Prabhupada, he said, what should I teach? You know, should I teach them like methodology or how to, you know, how to distribute? And Prabhupada said, no, just teach them enthusiasm. Because it's by enthusiasm that this movement spreads. If the devotees are if you meet a book distributor and he's enthusiastic, you buy the book. Right? Sometimes on book distribution, people don't even understand what you're saying. They don't know what you're saying, they don't know what this book's about, but they just like you. Prabhupada actually said they don't buy the book, they buy you. Right? Because if you're enthusiastic, they take it. Right? Enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm. It's just like in sales, right? If you want to sell something, if you're a salesman, then the best technique for selling is that you must use the product that you're selling. Prabhupada said he was up in his room in Melbourne, and Prabhupada was giving a conversation and he was imitating one of his disciples, and he said, you know, he's pretending he's a book distributor, and he said, take the book, and then Prabhupada was imitating and he was saying, the other person was saying, but what's in the book? And Prabhupada said, I don't know, but it's good for you, take it. Right? Just take the book on the Vyasa side. Okay. So he said, actually, Prabhupada's sitting here in the room and he said this, he's made this point to his disciples. Right? So if you want to be effective in spreading Krishna consciousness, first of all, you must taste Krishna consciousness. Right? Therefore, it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Pancha Tattva, before they distributed love of Godhead, they plundered the storehouse. Right? They opened up the storehouse of love of Godhead and they plundered it. You can imagine Lord Nityananda, right, in the storehouse of love of Godhead, plundering it, right, just drinking it to his full satisfaction. Right, Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya, right, Gadadhar, right, and Srivast Thakur, plundering with their associates the storehouse. And when they had drunk it sufficiently, then they went and distributed it. And it was irresistible. Because when they see that someone has so much taste, someone is getting so much pleasure from this product, then people also want to buy it. So this is how we spread Krishna consciousness, by our enthusiasm. Right? We purify the conditioned souls by Harinam, by book distribution, right? By taking prasad, Right? They become purified in their consciousness. And once they're purified within their consciousness, then they can develop a little bit of submission, because they understand, if they have good qualities, that this, there is something in this. This is a opportunity not to be missed. So after the Sunday feast lecture, I was sitting with the lawyer, and I said, did you understand much of what Maharaj said? And he said, a little bit. He said, most of it was over my head, but he said, a little bit. But he said, I appreciated that he's very enthusiastic about his belief. So because of that, then it affected his heart. So we have to present Krishna consciousness with enthusiasm. And if we accept it with enthusiasm and full surrender, it will spread like wildfire. Srila Prabhupada said one time, he said that of all of my disciples fully surrendered to me, we can take over the world in 18 days. Like that. So it is possible, right? Krishna consciousness can spread, but the devotees have to be qualified. We have to become pure in heart and enthusiastic. And then if we become enthusiastic, it will spread. Just like one time Prabhupada landed in the airport, and wherever Prabhupada landed in the airport, then his disciples would organise for reporters to come and interview him. So one reporter came and said to Prabhupada, is your movement spreading? And Prabhupada said, like wildfire. It gets out of control and it just spreads. And it doesn't matter where you go, right? It's coming up somewhere else. They try to put it out in one place and then it comes up somewhere else. Just like when we have the bushfires. Just like at the farm, we went to a bushfire meeting down in Dean's Marsh, close to the farm, because we're in a very fire-prone area. So we went down there to understand how we should deal with the fires if they come. So it's very educational. So with the fires, then you may put it out in one place, but then it jumps to the next place. Just like when they had that big fire on Black Saturday, it was March the 7th, then that fire was jumping sometimes 20 kilometres at a time. You know, all the ash and all the embers would go into the air and the wind would take it 20 kilometres and it would come down, another fire would start. So that's what the Hare Krishna movement is like. Right? They try to put us out, but then we come up somewhere else. Right? And then they try to stop it there and then it comes up somewhere else. You can't stop it. It is impossible to stop it. Prabhupada said the only thing that stops it is internal quarrel. He said you cannot stop this movement from outside, it can only be stopped from inside. Otherwise this movement is not stoppable, because it's under the protection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time Prabhupada said to Brahmananda Prabhu, he said, this movement is not going on because of you, this movement is going on in spite of you. So it is not because of our qualification this movement is spreading. Right? We are basically, we are like Lord Ramachandra's monkey army. Right? Prabhupada just picked up a bunch of monkeys, right, which is us, right? And we're trying to do something. And that's our qualification, that we're trying. We have sincerity in trying to spread this movement. Otherwise there's not a lot of qualification there, practically speaking. Like that. But because of Prabhupada's mercy, and because he's given some training, then we see that the movement is spreading and it has some potency like that. So this is how people will understand. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand God. People cannot understand who God is, who the soul is, but the Srimad Bhagavatam explains all of these things. It explains who God is and who the soul is. Right? And this knowledge can be taken, but it must be taken in the right way. So if people develop the right qualification, if we develop the right qualification, which is humility and submission, then this knowledge can enter our hearts and we can become qualified. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
If Krishna lives your track of mind for years, why is it so hard for conditions to often come back to you?
To Krishna. Because of anattas. Anattas means unwanted things in the heart. Because our consciousness is full of things which are not, which are anatta, which means something which is invaluable. So we become attached to things which are invaluable, but because of avidya or ignorance, then we think that these things are valuable or that they're good for us. So therefore we become attracted to those things and attached to those things within our consciousness. So therefore sometimes we don't have attraction to Krishna because we're more attracted to those other things. So therefore we have to follow the process of purification, which Mahaprabhu mentions, cheto, dapana, marjanam, means you have to cleanse the heart. When the heart becomes cleansed of those impure things, then we can become attracted to Krishna properly. We're attracted to Krishna now, but it's not strong enough. Why is it not strong enough? Because there's competition. Just like one of the devotees yesterday did a liver cleanse. So you drink olive oil and you drink grapefruit juice, and then you take Epsom salts, and then all your liver, all the stones in your liver come out. I do it every 6 months. I'm going to do one next week. So one of the devotees did one yesterday. Yeah, he said like 500 stones or 2,000 stones, like practically your whole palmful of like stones come out of your liver. Right? It's a good thing to do for your health. So how's your liver supposed to function when that's in it? How's your liver supposed to secrete bile when there's like, you know, it's like when there's that much unwanted things in there, anatta, or unwanted material, how's it supposed to do its job? So similarly, when our consciousness is full of unwanted material desires and attachments, then how can we become properly attracted to Krishna? We're attracted to Krishna, but how will that become strong? That has to be cleansed away. That's called anatta nivritti. Nivritti means to release or to give away. So when you give away those things, then you come to the platform of nishta. Nishta means steady. Why are you steady? Because the anattas are not there anymore. Right? They're gone. 75% of them are gone. So then it's a lot easier to be attracted to Krishna, to have your mind focused on Krishna, when there's not so many material concepts or attachments or distractions in your consciousness like that. So that is the process of purification. Does that answer what you want? You want to add anything to that?
It just seems that we're all part and parcel of Krishna, and we're supposed to be with Krishna, and that's our natural position. And it still puzzles me why there's so many spirit souls in the material world that are just
away from Krishna. Yeah, because God is Swarat. That means in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means independent. Krishna can do whatever he wants. So, because we're created in the image of God, we have independence. We have it. Like I can pick up this, you know, clock now, right? I can throw it over there, or I can throw it over there. I have independence. God gave me that independence. But how am I going to use it? Yeah, it's better if I put the clock back down. Because if I throw it, it's going to smash. Right? So that's independence. So if you misuse your independence, then that is your problem. So Krishna is our father. So then when the children deviate, the father is always there for them. Right? The father is always there. Where have they gone? What are they doing? How can I get them back? So then he comes himself, right? Yuge, yuge. Sambhavami, yuge. He comes again and again and again to bring us back. And he sends his representatives again and again and again to bring us back. So it's up to us when we're going to go back. Like that. Krishna's doing everything from his side. It's just like if you're on the bottom of a well and someone throws the rope in the well, right? And then the person says, okay, grab the rope and I'll pull you up. And then you say to the person at the top of the well, make me grab the rope. And the person will say, well, you know, I think I've done my part. You know, the rope's there, I'll pull you up. You've got to hold on. So you do your part, Krishna will do his. It's not difficult to go back to Godhead if we cooperate with Krishna. If you don't cooperate with Krishna, it's very difficult to go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada said it's simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. I know for myself I complicate the whole issue. You know, it could be a lot easier, but I complicate it. You know, I become attached to things in this material world and you know, so many anattas rise up in the heart and we become distracted from Krishna consciousness like that. So if we make it easy, it becomes easy. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Translation is that you should see the entire world situated within the self. Can you please explain? Saying that you should see the entire world situated within the self.
Yeah, I'm just. It does say that within the translation. That's how it says. One way could be that the material energy is made of material elements. The universe is made of material elements. If you look at the whole universe, it is made of material elements. There's 24 material elements, 25, 26. So then all those material elements are also contained within our body. So maybe from that perspective, then you could say something like that. I don't know, I can't say, I'm just saying that maybe one explanation. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.